In verses 1 through verse 5, the unknown becomes known through communion. That is, through communion with the Lord, through our relationship with Him. The walls of Jericho were 60 feet high, they tell us, 30 feet wide. You get that in your mind? 60 feet high, 30 feet wide. They tell us that the power of an apple tree to produce fruit lies beneath the ground in the root system, in that you and I cannot see. The power of every Christian and every Christian's life is determined by his or her private, personal relationship with God. So as we look at the life of Joshua, in Joshua 1 and verse 1, we hear the Bible say, "The Lord spake unto Joshua." You know, when Moses was talking about who would take his place, the Lord said, "Well, he's standing right outside the door. He's been faithful all this time." In Joshua 3 and verse 7, "And the Lord said unto Joshua." In Joshua 4 and verse 1, "The Lord spake unto Joshua." In Joshua 4 and verse 15, "And the Lord spake unto Joshua." In 5 and verse 2, "The Lord said unto Joshua." In 6 and verse 2, "And the Lord said unto Joshua." Joshua had a relationship with the Lord. God was speaking to Joshua. He was hearing the Lord's voice. You and I are not able to hear the Lord's voice unless we have a communion with Him, without a relationship with Him. It's got to be ongoing. So what is your Jericho? Is it unbelief? Is it circumstances or pride or a broken relationship? Is it the future? Is it age? Is it getting older? Some of us are facing that. What does the future hold for you and for me? Is it your job? For some of you, you're facing college, you're facing marriage, you're facing relationships. Number two, the unbelievable becomes believable through compliance. What does that mean? That means do what God has commanded you to do. Sometimes that won't make any sense. Sometimes what God is saying to do, you'll have a better idea. Or you think that it'll be a better idea. You'll think that, "Well, it would be better, Lord, if we did it like this." But the Lord is speaking to your heart and saying, no, this is the way I want you to do it. And it doesn't make any sense to you. Does it make sense if you're going to come in and take a city that you just march around the city in silence? You see, the Lord changes it from that which is physical to that which is spiritual, because you and I are in a spiritual battle. It's not a physical thing that we do, it's a spiritual thing that we do. Now, you know, I believe that the Bible gives us some instruction, some physical instruction that you and I are to be about, especially in raising our children. The Bible says that if you spare the rod, you spoil the child. Isn't that right, young people? Everybody said amen. All these young people here said amen. If you spare the rod, you'll spoil the child. So get out the fly swat and lay it on them, or the stick, or whatever you use. We had a praise the Lord belt at my house that somebody had made for me that wasn't for that purpose, but it wouldn't fit my belt loops, and so we used it to whoop the kids with. And some way that turned up missing. And we never did know what happened to that. It didn't get in the move from Tuckerman to Osage. I think that the Lord has given us some physical things to do that we should do. And I've told parents all along that if you don't whip them when they're young, when they get big enough, they'll whip you. And I've seen that take place when a child wasn't corrected, that when they got bigger, they whipped up on their parents. But you know where the battle is actually won at? Now, we're to do that. That's to take place. But the battle is won on our knees before the Lord for those kids. You know, if you did one without the other, you're blowed up. Because when you're on your knees and you're praying for those kids and you're lifting them up to the Lord and you're lifting up their future to the Lord, it makes all the difference in the world. The unbelievable becomes believable whenever we comply to what God has called us to do. In Joshua 6 and verse 6, he was obedient to God. He didn't argue with God. He just did what he was told. And that's what you and I are to be about. We're to just do what God has told us to do, whether it makes sense or not. In Joshua 6 and verse 10, God said, don't talk. Joshua said, don't talk. This was silent obedience. If they had talked, they might have discouraged each other. It doesn't take but a few negative people to quench the wonder working power of God. Sometimes I need to be held accountable to being quiet and just being obedient to what God has called us to do. Just step out, just trust in silence what He's called us to do. Can you imagine those folks marching around that wall? And one soldier turns to another soldier and said, have you seen how high those dudes are? Not only is it 60 foot high, have you noticed how wide that is at the top? Do you have any idea how impossible it is to gather up 100 kids and keep them at camp for a week? I mean, we're talking about some of them are mean. I had given some details, some instruction about don't be throwing rocks. And we had no more got out of the assembly than one little boy binged a little girl in the back of the head with a rock. Boy, I mean, just wham. And I was chewing him from one end to the other. Did you not hear what I just said? Don't throw rocks. And he looked at me with the most sincere face I'd ever seen. And he said, I was trying to miss her. If they had talked to one another, someone would have discouraged it. Someone would have said, you can't do it. We can't do it. Let's don't try that. That's too much for us. Let's go on. Let's do something. Let's do something that we can do. When God wants us to do something we can't do, God wants to put us in a place as individuals, to do things spiritually that we cannot do. God wants us to put us in a place of our family to go beyond that you and I would expect. That is higher. Don't talk. Don't be a discourager. Number three, the impossible becomes possible through confidence. Not us, but God. Verses 20 through verse 21. So the people shouted, even the priests blew with the trumpet. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the walls fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, in verse 30, the Bible doesn't say that it was because of the vibration of the voices and the trumpets and everything together that it brought down the walls. You know what Hebrews 11 says? By faith. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. You see, they followed the instruction of the Lord. Now, Naaman the leper went before, was it Elijah or Elisha? Elijah. And he sent his servant out to meet him. Naaman didn't like that to start with. And the servant said, well, this is what the prophet said. Go down to the River Jordan and duck yourself 7 times. And he went down to the riverbank and he looked out across that old muddy Jordan. And he began to, what's that word I'm looking for? He began to what? Doubt, rationalize, and doubt. And he said, we've got streams in our own country that are much better than this and much cleaner than this. If I was going to need to duck 7 times in the water, I could have done this at home. And one of his leaders came to him and he said, sir, if the Lord had said, climb Miller Mountain with a 100-pound sack of flour on your back, and when you get to the top, you'll be saved, you would have done that. If he'd have said, fight some kind of big battle and win that battle, you would have been saved. You would have done that. You would have followed those instructions. But because the Lord has commanded you obedience, he's commanded you to go down and duck in the Jordan River 7 times, you won't do that. In a little while, we're going to give an invitation for folks to be saved. For folks to simply put their trust and their faith in the Lord Jesus. Just be obedient to him. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we're going to ask you to do that here in a little while if you're not saved. And you'd say, oh no, it's got to be much harder than that. We can't use this old Jordan River, this old muddy river. I couldn't just go down and duck 7 times in the Jordan River and that would heal my leprosy. Must be more than just calling on the name of the Lord. Maybe I have to do some kind of mission project. Maybe I have to give a certain amount of money or maybe I have to do that or I have to do this or I'm going to have to quit doing this that I'm doing and start doing this that I'm doing. But the Lord said, you just be simply obedient to the Lord. And so Naaman went down into the Jordan River because they kind of called his hand and he went down and first time he came up, he still had leprosy. Second time he came up, he still had leprosy. And on and on and on. And on that 7th time when he came up, what does the Bible say? That his skin was like the skin of a baby. God healed him. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Let's look at some verses in the book of Romans. Over in the New Testament, Romans, Corinthians, Romans 12. And look at verse 13. Well, that's not the verse I wanted. You see it? Let's try 10 and 13. Betty, back there somewhere, she wrote down the wrong verse when she made this sermon out. 10 and verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You might say, well, I just don't have the faith. Here this is. It's not talking about you mustering something up. It's talking about you being obedient to the Lord. Maybe I don't have enough faith. But Romans 17 and verse 20 says that if you had the faith as a mustard seed, you'd be able to say to the mountain, be thou removed, and the mountain would be moved. Now let's close with this last verse, Romans 10. And Betty and I spent some time on this last Wednesday, I think it was, when we were looking at this word. And I want to make sure that I had it correct. Romans 10 and verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing. Now how did the walls of Jericho fall according to Hebrews? Faith. Okay. So then faith comes by, what's that next word? Hearing. So faith comes by hearing. Now it'd be one thing for me to say something to you. It's something much greater when God gives you a word. This is what I want you to do. This is a word. This is a word from the Lord. Have you been reading God's Word, and all at once it almost jumps off the page and into your heart, and you feel like, God, you just gave me that. That was a promise. That was a promise you gave to me. That is so precious. It is so precious. Sometimes it'll be about something that we've been praying about, and God will give us a promise out of His Word that He's going to take care of it. And He just gives us a word from Him that He's going to take care of it. Well, you've heard enough preaching that you know that in the New Testament, there's a word that we use for the Word of God called Logos. That's Greek for the Word. This is not Logos. This is Rhema. It's different. It's different. Now, if you look this up in a Greek dictionary, you'll discover that it means the spoken word of God. And you and I were trying to figure out, well, what is the difference between the spoken word of God and the written word of God? That because God spoke and holy men of God wrote it down, it's the word of God, it's the Logos of God, no matter what, is it not? But here he uses a different phrase for the word, and it's a spoken word. And literally it means when God speaks to you. Now, someone said, do you mean that God spoke to you in an audible voice? And the old boy said, oh, no, it's a lot louder than that. That he spoke right directly to my heart, that God was speaking to my heart. It's a specific word to a specific person in a specific situation. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God, by the word of God. Let's stand together. Now,